A.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So the point that Chris O'Brien raised on the Paracast with Gene Steinberg and Chris O'Brien, the point that he raised at the end of our previous segment, is that with all this technology, the ease of making movies, we all have a camcorder in our pocket, our smartphones, our iOS smartphones, our Apple smartphones, our Android smartphones, all these gadgets, hundreds of millions of cameras, hundreds of millions of camcorders. We're not seeing this great increase of pictures or movies being taken of UFOs. We're talking with Raymond B. Palmer and Tim Beckley. So, Chris, you want to expand on that? Because you're in the process of setting up these webcams.
Correct. You know, it's something that I predicted and others obviously surmised 20 years ago that with the advent of affordable technology, imaging technology, that we would gradually see, as this technology became more affordable, we'd gradually see an increase of visual evidence. And I think what's happening is because the technology has become affordable, we're seeing more hoaxes. We're seeing more confabulated events that are passed off as the real thing, you know, with the advent of After Effects and affordable editing and special effects programs, desktop versions that people can play with. We're seeing some very, very well crafted hoaxes, but in terms of objects that exhibit what could be called diagnostic evidence of something high strange, I don't personally see a spike in reports and good footage. How about you, Tim?
Well, you know, again, UFO photos and videos and films are kind of in the eye of the beholder, because what you may see as a fake, somebody else may see as a legitimate. Now, the overall number of videos available on YouTube, if you type them in, have increased tremendously. I mean, there are thousands and thousands and thousands. We don't have that many hours in the day to watch them all. Now, to say what's authentic and what isn't authentic, I mean, obviously the ones that were taken over Haiti when the UFO comes down over the palm tree, I mean, that's pretty, ridiculous and obvious to say that it's a hoax. It's kind of like believing in the Billy Meyer or something like that, you know. But a lot of the others are taken at night, and you have to admit, Chris said most people cannot take photographs in the daytime, never mind at night. You have a couple of objects hovering in the sky, they're off in the distance. Maybe they're blinking, yellow, orange, blue, and green. By the time you aim your camera and point it in the direction and get the objects, you get a tiny pinpoint of light. The actual number of objects coming that close, I don't think is actually varied. We're getting a lot more videos of objects seen at night and at the distance and over treetop levels. And I don't know, some of them seem, fairly convincing, but again, UFO photos and films are in the eyes of the beholder. And I think, Ray, this kind of comes back to your dad. George Adamski, probably the most famous of all the UFO contactees. Your dad claimed, of course, that George Adamski's story, for the most part, was pretty much a hoax. And he knew it to be a hoax because long before Adamski's first book was published, apparently your dad was presented with a manuscript. And I believe he said it was not up to the quality of what he would want to print, so he never published it, but he read Adamski's story before it was in print.
Yes, I remember that story. And that's on the Nebel radio broadcast, too, that tape you have.
Now, wasn't this a book that he self-published several years before The Flying Saucers Have Landed came out?
Yeah, we have that volume. It's called Pioneers from Space. Supposedly, Orthon was a messiah, being sort of a Jesus, and I don't know. I've read part of the book. It's kind of hard and difficult to get through. It is available on Kindle and on Amazon, of course. Kind of difficult to get through. I don't see that many similarities. Now, if you go back and read the history of Adamski, you'll find that even in the 1930s, he was very much into this whole metaphysical phenomena thing, you know, this whole kind of New Age movement. In fact, he claimed as a youth, he had gone and traveled through Tibet, which we know is just nonsense. It didn't happen. But he had set up a colony or a commune in the mid-1930s in California. And had even built, was in this building, or had constructed a pyramid, and had the people moved into this, you know, community who were kind of New Age believers. And I know this to be a fact because we actually printed one of the articles from a 1935 to 1936 issue of the Los Angeles Times. So Adamski was into this whole metaphysical movement, and according to some, it was actually through the Ouija board and a session with George Hunt Williamson that Adamski made his first contact with supposedly this being from Venus or Orthon. So it's kind of up in the air. He was involved in this subject for a long, long time, which a lot of his followers to this day would rather not have us acknowledge. So he did possibly did get this rather amateurish written manuscript, which became Pioneers of Space, but later on it was either doctored or he really did have an experience with some being from somewhere else. Up in the air, I don't know. I kind of sit on the fence as far as Adamski goes. And I know Gene is probably a hardcore non-believer, and Jim Mosley, our mutual friend, he just passed away, did publish an Adamski expose edition of Seltzer News.
And one of the things in that issue, which was very important, was that Adamski was quoted by someone as saying, sometimes you have to get through the back door to tell the truth, which was kind of implying here that his experiences were basically not to be taken literally, but as vehicles to express his worldview. I wanted to ask you another thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, yet on the other hand, and we put this in Pioneers of Space, our edition as well, back around 1948, Fate magazine published an article by Adamski in which he had actually photographed through his telescope objects passing over the face of the moon, and there were like 30 witnesses with him when this happened, and there was a big flap going on in that part of California. I think it was San Diego during that period, and I believe those photos stand a better chance of being more authentic than some of the later hubcap ones.
I'll go back to you, Ray Palmer. When I interviewed your dad, and of course over the years, he talked about something about UFOs called a fact, a piece of information that allowed him to evaluate a claim about UFOs to determine whether it was true or false. Now, supposedly in the latter years, in some of his latter publications, he began to explain what this fact is, but I don't think he ever finished.
No, he didn't do it to me either.
Okay, so your dad talked to you about this fact?
Not really. Just what I've read on that, no.
Okay, so you know nothing more than what you've read?
No.
So, unfortunately, whatever it was, it died with him?
Yes. And he died so early, so... And he was that they wanted to sell the business, and he wanted to get into writing, solely writing. And unfortunately, running the business took a lot of his time. If my dad lived now with the internet would be his prime medium there. He wouldn't have to worry about running a business that way with hiring employees and everything else that comes to trouble with running a business. So, yes, he was a little before his time as far as being able to write the way he wanted to. So, yes, there's a lot that he hasn't written.
Now, he died in August of 1977, it says here, just after his 67th birthday.
Mm-hmm.
He was editor of Amazing Stories from 1938 through 1949, and I guess that was very much the heyday of pulp science fiction.
Yes, I believe so, yes.
Now,
He certainly enjoyed that time of his life, too. And everybody I've talked to that ever worked with him enjoyed working with him, I said. Almost said that's the best time of their life they ever had.
Of course, the secret identity of the DC Comics character Adam, his name was Palmer.
Yeah, I know nothing about that. I've heard the rumors like that, but I haven't. There's nothing I can document here that...
Well, you know, that was what was in the comic mm-hmm. book, but you wouldn't know whether that was because of your father's influence.
No, I wouldn't know that, no.
Okay. We have Raymond B. Palmer, son of Raymond A. Palmer, the pioneer science fiction writer, editor, UFO investigator. So many fascinating remembrances to continue. With Tim Beckley and Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast. Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO at WebTV.net. That's MrUFO at WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
What's going on with food prices? Have you noticed how your favorite ice cream is now 14 ounces instead of a pint? Round-trip airfares into 9 major cities has increased 44% in just 1 year. Ask your 18 to 25-year-old what it costs to buy some nice, fashionable jeans. $300? And yet not one person in 100 realizes these prices reflect government spending and Federal Reserve Bank dollar printing. Gold in the last 10 years has increased 450%, while the dollar's purchasing power is declining daily. My name is Daniel Larson. I work at Midas Resources. To learn more about how gold and silver can protect your dwindling purchasing power and your IRA accounts, call 1-800-686-2237, extension 134. That's 800-686-2237, extension 134. Daniel Larson, 800-686-2237, extension 134.
If you're considering a water filter, have you heard about AquaPail? AquaPail from FreezeDryGuy.com has huge advantages over many other water filters. American-made AquaPail units are designed and engineered to not just filter contaminated water, but capture or kill all bacteria and viruses to non-detectable levels. AquaPail has the fastest flow rate of any other water filter on the market, filtering a gallon of contaminated water in about 5 minutes. That's water when you need it, now. Get the world's fastest, safest, and most reliable gravity-fed portable water treatment system for surface, well, and wastewater sources. AquaPail. Available in 4 sizes starting at only $100. In all orders to the lower 48, ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran-owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
I wanted to go back to the OWASPE book, folks, and maybe we can talk more about its perspective here with Raymond Palmer and Tim Beckley. Either of you can answer this here. We still see references to OWASPE. Is that a religion, a movement? What was it, or is it?
I don't know if it's a religion.
I would consider it more of a movement than a religion. Ray, don't they call themselves the faithists, right? F-A-I-T-H-I-T-H-S?
Yes.
And they do have groups, but they don't call them churches or temples or anything like that. as I understand it, it's more of a discussion a group than anything else. And you're welcome to believe what you want and disbelieve what you don't want to believe. So it's not a rigid religion is as such. You can belong to one of these groups and also be a member of some other faith. But they still exist today, and they are still very active, and they have this very cosmic philosophy. And the books are readily available. There are several different editions. I certainly is not the only one. And even when your dad was putting it out, there was, I think, Ring Anderson had originally published an edition of the book going back to, like, 1938. So the group is still active today, but I wouldn't call it a religion as such. And they do have several internet-based Yahoo groups for discussion. In fact, I am a member of one of them, and I did ask both the OSPE group and the Shaver Mystery group that Bishop Toronto is the moderator of if they had any questions for Ray, and we did cover quite a few of them today. Somebody, I think it was Richard, who wanted to know if you still had that piece of metal from Moy Island that you're trying to auction off on eBay, and if there was any other kind of memorabilia that you still had from your dad's period. I don't know exactly what that would be, any hardcore evidence or anything physical that you might still have.
Yes, it's more what I take of it. It helps answer questions of why some things happen where you can't explain it. Because it implies that, yes, we are influenced. And the lower spirits do not leave Earth that far because they don't believe they're dead, and they can influence us.
So basically, when you die, you become first a lower spirit, or is that a transition that you fail to make?
You transition to what you continue on as you are, whatever essence what is your being. I mean, I've talked to people that are one agnostic, he's called himself an agnostic, but he didn't believe in God or anything like that. But then we also talk, well, and according to physics, energy cannot be destroyed. So again, he says, well, he doesn't believe in God or anything, but he says, well, the energy of what we are is not destroyed, so maybe we do go on. So there's lots of different theories that way. But again, the WASP says that, again, the ones, what they call the evil people or something, that when they die, they don't go very far from the Earth because that's all they know. They don't have the mind or the ability to reach to a higher level. Because WASP says that as you grow, you go to a higher level in heaven. Or what the WASP says is a thinner environment. Again, I'm not really saying it properly. Tim might say it, but the atmosphere is divided into, like, plateaus. And as you die, you can exist on each plateau according to what your essence is, I guess. So the ones that are the lower ones still think they have control over other people, and maybe they do. Because you have to wonder why some people do some things they do. Are they pure evil, or are they just influenced by pure evil?
Of course, as now we consider the possibilities of new gun laws in order to protect people from getting these assault weapons if they're kind of wacky. That almost becomes very current, very topical.
Of course, yeah, I'm not in favor of new gun laws because I don't think that's... I'm still thinking people kill people. Guns just are more efficient doing it. You still got a solid problem why people want to kill people.
Assuming then that if they didn't have the assault weapons and the 30 rounds, they'd find a way to do it with some other kind of weapon.
Yeah, just not quite as efficient, that's all, yes. No, guns are very efficient just for what they do. But to me, they're a tool.
Let's go back from the politics back to Ray Palmer. Okay, so we will never understand what the fact was. But do you think the fact, maybe, Ray, was just something presented as a mechanism or a gimmick to bring discussion about? And the reason I ask you that is I had a couple of conversations with Otto Bender years ago. And he spoke very highly of your dad, but he said he was also the kind of person who would state an argument in his publications to get people writing letters.
Yes, I have my little notes I was going to make today. You shouldn't say he's a gimmick, but yes, my dad would write an article stating one point of view in one issue. The next issue, under a different name, he would say, well, how crazy is this, Ray Palmer? This is my view. This is right. So, yes, he would do that to stimulate people to think and get a discussion going. If he wanted...
He even published a little publication, I think it was subscription only, called Ray Palmer's Forum. in which he probably went into this in a lot more detail and exchanged ideas with the readers more so than maybe some of the other publications did.
I wouldn't say strange ideas. He wanted new ideas because in his life, on his younger years, when he had his accident, he was confined to the hospital in Milwaukee for years.
Now, let's explain to people, when he was, 7 years old, he was hit by a truck, a severe accident that left him partly crippled.
Yes. And he actually had the very first spinal graft in the country, which failed. And the next morning when they came in, he was doubled over, and they actually had to cut his bones with a hacksaw off and paint him with iodine because they thought he was going to die. But then after that, he was confined to one of these racks where they have to spin you every 20 minutes or something like that for a long period of time, and also a long period of time he was in the hospital. And as my mom said, the nuns would bring him like 18 books a day from the library, and he'd read that much every day. So he was at an age where his mind could retain things. So because she said she probably thought he probably read the whole Milwaukee library. So he knew a lot of stuff. So when he talked to people and somebody could tell him something, he already knew of this, so it was kind of boring to him. So always he wanted new ideas, and he wanted people to think. Because if you just read somebody else's work, you're no better than really a computer. You may have knowledge and everything, but you're not thinking for yourself. So that was his main point in many of his articles, to get people to think for themselves and have new ideas. And also, because he couldn't travel the world or anything else like that, when something new come up, he would write about it, and he'd get letters from people. Like, he had the hole in the pole theory. He would get letters from airline pilots that flew over it. He'd get letters from submarine people.
Now, let's explain. This is fascinating, and I hadn't brought it up before, and maybe we'll cover this here and in the next segment. We're talking about here the legend that Admiral Byrd supposedly crossed into the hole at the North and South Poles that lead you to the inner Earth. And this goes back to the legends going back many, many years. In fact, Edgar Rice Burroughs wrote a series of novels called Pellucidar, which were based on the theory that there was a civilization under the Earth that you can be reaching by the holes of the North and South Pole, and there was a great central sun instead of a molten core. Fascinating stuff. We'll get into more of this in a moment. With Gene and Chris, we're talking to Raymond B. Palmer. Tim Beckley, you're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Is this the year you finally get serious about your family's drinking water? If so, keep listening for a special offer from Big Berkey Water Filters. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated? Berkey Water Filters distinguish themselves from many other filtration systems with the capability to significantly reduce dangerous chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, and disinfection byproducts from municipal water via the Black Berkey and PF line of filters. Then there's affordability. At only 1.7 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify treated and untreated water, even stagnant pond water. Stop and think how much money you could save by simply reducing buying bottled water and using water filtered by your Berkey water filter. No need to be constantly replacing expensive filters with a Berkey. A single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. Choose the best size Berkey for your needs at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And right now, all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Just call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Free shipping on every order over $50. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Weakened by GMOs, stressed out about money, and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I'd been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call toll-free 888-577-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
With Gene and Chris in the PowerCast, Raymond B. Palmer and Tim Beckley. So, Ray, we're talking here about your dad's theory of the holes of the poles, and the readers wrote in disputing everything, saying, no, we fly over the poles all the time. And he said we didn't. Not really. We kind of escape it. We kind of fly around it. Did he really take this seriously?
Well, one way he was able to learn new things, because here you have people, first-hand people, telling him things. And if you ever actually read the pole in the pole, he wouldn't make up things. He would just repeat what other people would tell him. And he, as far as his theory of the pole, he said, he didn't really say there's a hole in the pole. He said, well, there's something strange going on up there. And again, by having these people write him a letter that had been there first-hand, he was able to get first-hand accounts of what was up there. And he learned a lot about the different parts of the world just by writing these articles that may be a little unusual sometimes. He wasn't sure what they were. He's just more like sort of a reporter at times. Or he's, as Shaver always said, an advanced mind always just tries to find out how something is true. So if somebody says there's something up there, Dad would get many theories saying, well, how could this be true? And sometimes truth can be unusual, and sometimes truth can be usual. But again, when somebody says something, he doesn't call him a liar. He says, okay, well, how can your statement be true? If you see a flying saucer, well, how can it be true? What have you seen? So once, if you approach it that way, you're actually learning something. And you might find out this flying saucer that this person saw was an airplane. But again, you want to find out how what they saw is true. So that was, many of his writing was like that.
Can we say then that he really didn't believe it was a hollow earth?
Well, I think if you read his last book, he said, no, he didn't think, I don't want to put words in his mouth, I have to read it. He said there's something unusual going on there. He doesn't say that actually believes there's something there.
Well, it's an enduring
mystery. But again, he would try to, if somebody said there's a hollow earth, okay, he would get all the possibilities of how that could be true. It may be wrong, or may be wrong, but once he gets his possibilities, then other people can write in and say, okay, I've been there. What you're saying, it isn't right. So then he can change it. But again, it's not when people say something and they're not lying, they witness something, he tries to find out how what they say is true. So that's an interesting way of going about things. You learn a lot of things, and a lot of people see things, they misinterpret them. But at least it's a research project, basically, find out what they're seeing. And it's an interesting way to live your life.
Well, that subject is still an enduring mystery because we have currently Brooks Agnew is claiming to have a expedition set up. They're just trying to finalize the media company that's going to be documenting this, but they're going to be traveling up to the areas around the North Pole, presumably looking for the entrance to the Hollow Earth, which it's kind of a testament to the enduring, you know, sense and quality of that particular mystery. It still has quite a big following. There's a lot of people out there that do sense or have in their own minds evidence to suggest that we do have something going on underneath our feet, and there may be entrances at the poles. It's not going away anytime soon.
And many times, like, say, somebody would come back, it's impossible, there's holes in the poles, and they give their reasons, and my dad would shoot down their reasons, because you just can't believe somebody on their word either, too. So he finds...
On the cover of one issue of Flying Saucers magazine, he actually published the photographs taken by a NASA satellite that showed the planet Earth what appeared to be a giant black hole or something in the center of the Earth there. And, of course, many seafarers, including Admiral Byrd, who sailed in the direction of one of the poles, found that instead of getting colder, the ice broke up and it was getting warmer, and they even found evidence of all kinds of fossils and other kind of animal life forms, and even flowers floating on the water. So there is actually a lot of interest in the inner Earth and the Hollow Earth. In fact, I would say the public is more fascinated with concepts involving the Hollow Earth and the inner Earth than they are with flying saucers possibly coming from outer space. Because almost all the mail that we get and orders for our books and all are centered on these themes instead of the idea that the UFOs might be from the other solar system.
That is fascinating, because that's the thing that exists in one kind of subculture, but we don't get it in the general public. Let me ask another question here, Ray, about your father. One of the things he wrote was that flying saucers are here to make us think.
Oh, yes.
You've heard that one.
Mm-hmm. And he's used that, too.
Okay. What do you mean by that?
Well, you can't go to the book and read what a flying saucer is. So you have to think for yourself. Again, you look in many of his publications, the theme, everything, he wants people to think for themselves. Because, again, the people that just recite them books are using other people's words. And also, whatever is known is the past, and your future is unknown. For you to live your future, you have to think for yourself. Otherwise, you're living somebody else's life if you're just following other people's thoughts. So he wanted people to think for themselves. Again, going back to his background where he read so much, he knew so much, when he talked to people, he didn't want to listen to what he already knew. He wanted, his future was unknown, and theirs too, so he wanted something new to think about.
So very much here, when he said that, he wanted you, the people who read his books and magazines, to think about what UFOs are, not assume conventional wisdom. Conventional wisdom being that they're ET. This is one of the things that I've been arguing about for a number of years, and other people argue about on the Paracast, which is, don't accept anything about these strange mysteries as accepted fact yet, because we're still dealing with the unknown.
That's correct. But it's unknown, but again, people don't want to go on the limb. And again, it depends on funding, too. I mean, if you get funding, you could have research on flying saucer, but who's going to give you a lot of money on that? And a lot of times there's more funding trying to debunk saucers or anything else than there is.
Yes.
I talked to a physicist. He's writing a book, and he wanted to license the material for me. But he said he could care less what the flying saucers were, whether they were for outer space, whether they're military or anything else. He was just writing on a certain subject because that's what his funding was for. But here he's writing about flying saucers, but he could care less what they really are. So that does twist what I'm just, people see them, and like Dad said, people see them, well, try and find out what they see, what is the truth.
Well, of course, the argument here is about scientific research. There, a lot of it is done not because a scientist believes in a possibility of something, but, hey, how can I get a grant? How can I make a living? What line of research should I pursue?
Mm-hmm.
Which is unfortunate. It really is, because I think that crimps our style.
Mm-hmm.
It severely prevents research, and certainly when you're into something like UFOs or any paranormal event, how the heck do you get funding for that? That's pretty difficult. It's very rare.
I do notice on some of the TV shows, maybe it's Ancient Astronauts, I'm not sure which one it is, but they go to many sites that the tourists never see in following their flying saucer quest. And I sure wish I had the money to go to all those sites, because they sure look interesting.
Did your dad ever have a UFO sighting?
He said he's had two of them. He had to go on and look at his magazine to see which ones they were. But I can't offhand say what they were specifically. But yes, he said he's had a couple sightings.
By the way, I should mention to our listeners, over the years of this show since 2006, I've said I never saw a UFO. And then I looked into the old issues of that magazine that I published back in the 60s and 70s and 80s. And guess what? Yes, I did see a UFO, kind of a light in the sky that just suddenly soared away. You know, a common UFO case, common sighting, not much detail, didn't last very long. So there you go. That's all I know about it. All right? Raymond,
well, I have a definition. People talk about UFOs and flying saucers.
Okay, well, let's get into this. I got to do the break. Then we'll talk about your definition, okay? Raymond B. Palmer joining us with Tim Beckley and Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast. Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to dreamhost.com/radio, dreamhost.com/radio. Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
Food storage? Check. Survival tools? Check. Weapons and water filters? Check. But what about a permanent source of cooking power that can run forever without buying fuel or paying for maintenance? Introducing Afterburner Stoves, home of the original patented rocket stove, the Kelly Kettle, and the Solo Stove. Afterburner Stoves has what you need and now offers all GCN listeners our complete preparedness package with the means to cook meals and sanitize water. Whether you dig in or bug out, cook almost any meal with just a handful of sticks. We already have the lowest online prices guaranteed, but if you enter coupon code GCN at checkout, we'll knock off an additional 15% and send you our amazing 6-hour solar rechargeable light bulb absolutely free, all for only $249. Visit afterburnerstoves.com or call 866-716-5214, 866-716-5214, afterburnerstoves.com. Cook hot meals with just a handful of sticks.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems system today, complete with two Black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Despite what medical experts tell you, it's just not possible to get all the nutrients your body needs from food. Minerals are essential for good health, but not all soils contain these nutrients, so they won't be in your food. And Dr. Peter Glidden knows this.
Longevity's organic plant-derived liquid minerals. This mineral supplement, which contains 77 plant-derived organic, certified organic minerals, in a colloidal state, saturated, concentrated just below the saturation index, is unrivaled in the field of medical nutrition, the field of nutrition, period. There's no other company that has a product that even comes close to this, and this is a big deal.
Order your liquid colloidal minerals from Longevity today by calling 855-347-3696. That's 855-347-3696. Or on the web at fireyourmdnow.com. That's fireyourmdnow.com.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
So in response to my report that, yes, I saw something, it could have been a UFO many years ago, Ray Palmer, joining me with Tim Beckley on the Paracast, had a comment to make about that. Ray?
Okay, UFOs are such a generic term that almost anything can be a UFO. So if you're talking truly flying saucers, my definition of flying saucers, it's metallic, it's close enough where you can see it clearly enough that you can actually get a very good description of it. And also it goes very fast. So you can't mistake it for many other things. So I sort of limit my, when people talk about flying saucer UFO, I always ask, well, how clearly have you seen it? So UFO, I mean, there's so many mistaken identifications of UFOs. Most of them are planes or anything else. One time I saw a green fireball. I never knew what they were before. I thought, boy, this could be something. Then I looked up and I thought, green fireballs are fairly common. But again, that's a UFO when I see it, but I don't know what it really is. But a flying saucer has to be something really that you can almost grab onto. And then you can say it's a flying saucer. So most of the sightings are not what I consider flying saucer sightings.
I think most of them are what we call conventional things.
Yeah.
Do you have any personal belief as to what you think is responsible for UFOs, flying saucers, whatever?
Oh, I'm still in the stage where I need to see more information. I certainly think people out there are seeing some things, and I certainly think that we don't know what they are for sure yet. But that doesn't mean flying saucers aren't unknowable. In some future date, we may find out what they are. But to say they don't exist or all of them are all missed identification from military aircraft or something, I don't think that's true either. I think there is something we still don't know, and they're out there.
Now, what are your plans with regard to your dad's memoir? Are you going to continue to republish some of his material?
I have been thinking now in the day of age of Internet and e-books, I think I need to get into that. As you say, the book publishing, hard book publishing is becoming dying, and as I said, this would be the age my dad's writings would flourish more. And I just wish he could have been here so he could have spent his time writing, which is what he really wanted to do, rather than worrying about the money end of it as much as he had to.
He didn't want to be a printer. He didn't want to be the typesetter. He wanted to sit there and write stuff.
Yep, but he had a family to raise and everything else and employees to pay, so you have to work to make the money too.
So does that mean we'll see Kindle versions of some of Ray Palmer's stuff?
I think so. And Tim mentioned something about the other day, too, that we need to get together. Because I'm not sure, again, how to do it and everything. And then there's a lot of technical things. That's just technical, too. And then you want to write a book, and then you can put it on the book. If you don't have it protected, then everybody copies it, and you sell one copy, and everybody has it.
Well, of course, there are ways, supposedly, to protect electronic books. But even then, you know, there's always going to be a matter of trust. But right now, are you primarily a printer or what?
Oh, well, yeah, I guess you could say primary printer, yes. But it's very, very limited at the moment. I still do some of my own books, and I do some commercial printing, but not too much.
So that's your day job.
The presses that your dad actually used, that somebody else had bought the company quite a few years ago, right?
Yeah, but they went out of business.
Oh, that's a shame. So this started in the, was it in the garage or something that he started the business there, and it grew, and he was
published. Well, they started
I know he published, your dad published a couple of books for us when I just first got started in this. And was publishing for other people, and I think I even have a Tomorrow River cookbook or something here.
Okay, yep. Yeah, he did commercial printing. And actually, going back to Kurt Fuller and the race relationship, I believe in the 60s, we actually did commercial printing for Kurt, too. So, again, we had a good relationship with him.
Okay.
Kurt had his Woodall Publishing, and we did the printing for him, too.
Just a question about generations and spanning generations. And we see that Raymond A. Palmer was the writer. Raymond B. Palmer is the production guy,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the printing and everything. You have children?
No.
Okay.
Almost married, but not quite.
Never happened. What about your sister?
I have two sisters, Jennifer and Linda.
Right.
One's in Florida, one's in Colorado.
They have kids?
Yes.
Are their kids interested? Did this jump generations?
No. Yeah, you know, they're not. They look them up and they're interested in what Dad did, but no, they're not interested in pursuing that. That I know of yet, yeah.
Mm.
No.
But we have to definitely see if there's a way possible to get this material back in public. And I would be interested, maybe personally, in exploring the possibilities if there is any way to have a biography of Ray Palmer with maybe some material about Shaver and see what kind of interest we have. And I guess a lot of that depends on the reaction to the show. And frankly speaking, I have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Sort of what I'd like to do. I mean, again, my dad and Shaver are the past, and we sort of, it's a research project if somebody wants to get together. But I also wanted to put it in a context where it's a stepping stone to our futures, too, because they're what they've looked into and has still not been solved yet. So there's still more interest to be had in this. There's still more to learn. So I wanted more in that context that you're not just reading the past, but there is a future to this too yet where you can learn something.
And one of the things I noticed in looking at some of the things that Ray wrote back in the 50s and 60s about the lack of progress in UFO research, that hasn't changed.
Oh, no. I remember one of his articles said, well, now the time we have technology that we could ever do a scientific research of UFOs. And I would say about maybe 10 years ago, some scientist was on the evening news and said, well, now we should do a scientific research on UFOs. So, I mean, every 20 years it seems to repeat itself, doesn't it?
It's the same cycle over and over again. And the other argument I make is if you look at some of the things written about what UFOs might be in the 1950s and change the date,
mm-hmm.
It reads the same.
But again, I mean, it reads the same, but I really think there's something out there that's not misidentified that we still don't know about.
There's still a mystery. People are still seeing UFOs. They're
mm-hmm.
still photographing them. Strange things are still happening. And we have to wonder why. Certainly, Chris has been a field investigator for a number of years, and he's explored some really extraordinary phenomena.
And where does he get his funding? Huh? Is he independently wealthy?
Well, I think it's fair to say that Chris and I are both independently poor, but that doesn't apply to every situation. Chris?
Lawrence Rockefeller funded me for 2 years, and I spent my life savings.
Oh, but again, you're interested in what you're doing with.
Yeah, it's a fascination. Never thought that I'd ever figure anything out, but I would sure love to compile the kind of scientific data that would enable others a little bit more talented and maybe smarter than me to do the analysis and possibly come up with further insights into what we're dealing with.
And in your research, it travels. You learn a lot. You meet a lot of different people, and it's an interesting life.
Yeah, and it's the networking part of it, and training people to go out and properly document and investigate in the field is also something that I've really made a point of doing. People have contacted me pretty regularly over the years and how to get started in maybe being a field investigator in their own local area. You know, I'm always open to help people get up to speed and do things as scientifically as possible, because quite frankly, belief is one thing. Scientific data, you know, and repeating that the results, I think, is the ultimate grail that we're looking towards.
By the way, folks, you can find more information about what Chris is up to, his research, his articles, at OurStrangePlanet.com, OurStrangePlanet.com. He's now got set up to take donations if you want to help him with his work, but also we're still working on getting the webcam. Ray Palmer, do you have a website or something we can check out?
No. That's in my future plans, too.
Okay. Tim Beckley, I know you have a place we can contact you at.
Well, we have, of course, the conspiracyjournal.com. And also, Gene, I just located here a small stack of CDs of Long John interviewing Ray Palmer and Richard Shaver. I don't know, there's maybe 12 or 15 of them. Email me at MrUFO8@hotmail.com. And I'll give them up for free while they last, which is a big problem. But I'm happy to share the information, and it's quite an interview. Ray Palmer and Richard Shaver, and you want to hear that anywhere else.
Oh, that's fascinating. You can find us at theparacast.com. That is theparacast.com. Tim Beckley, Ray Palmer, thank you both so much for joining us on the Paracast.
Yeah, nice to talk to you.
Be a lifetime.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Who wants to be disease-free, full of energy, and vibrant health? Two reasons you may feel constantly tired and run down could be that your body's acid level is high and your pH level is low. How does acid enter your body? A cup of coffee, a sandwich, tap water, stress, and cell phones. Plus, your own body produces acid on a regular basis. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops alkalize the water you drink and raise your pH level. They promote more oxygen in your system, higher energy potential, and many other documented health benefits. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops is the least expensive and the best pH level product you can buy. Order AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. That's 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health with pH Drops from AlkaVision.com.